Well with Anahila.
Sabo kambulo weekend na turanga na marama dorbo na manelewa. Ena bonu elebungo Kalandi, ena matentu New Zealandi. Sane tini kaba zavanga kenda ndui lago maiki na nando bonu lomani obiti. Kenda samu ibo kitu kitu kena bonu elebungo New Zealandi. Lago maibo kabuli, lago maibo kadakadaka, lago maibo angito, lago maibo angande. Se kenda samu ilo ni bonu tundetu, ena bonu binango. Au satoru tuko na ngono binango, mo weekend na pakitu gani. Na yada talei, na yada nimbula. Na yada ichisu karisto wana nanda turanga. Ena singa binanga nikua. Venga rabi tuko weekend na New Methodist Christian Fellowship. Kena ibaka rawa na Planet FM. Kena ibaka njona baka tataro ni oti na ibaka itabi. Nga ingiri ngiri nga mai. Vitala talanga si leme ki ilo laka 212-984-820. Au na katale 212-984-820. Kani marau miki tu mingarabi. Weekenda, ene mataka nisi ya nindain. Ndone bunau, e wakara uta kitu mai weekenda. Meruti kenda waka binaka. Turanga kene marama, dharubo kene wanelewa. Na iwali nila nga iburuburu ngo. Seikwaya, na bose nikalu. Ngole nga ki na bose nikalu. Endina na bose nikalu. Ena lasu na tamata kede nga. Endina nga na bose nikalu. Ka weekenda na baltambu. Sengani tamata mendo bose lasu. Siluwi ni tamata mendo wisau na nanu nanuma. Sake mbali turanga kini marama. Ena bless taki kenda na bose nikalu. Ena raki nimbula ni tabutu. Ni tao na lubwe wale na pakaloloma. Nambili raki nambedi. Nambula ni lenga ke nambula ni rabunabua. Sa rauti kenda rubina nga na bose nikalu ni singa nindai.
Hallelujah. So we welcome Pastor Rachel Morono.
Hallelujah. Greetings to those of you who have been looking forward to the program every Sundays. Church members all the way globally, New Zealand, Australia, Europe, those of you joining us from America, and even the Cook Islands, Auntie Nancy, and all of you in New Zealand and Australia, they're all looking forward to the 10:30 program. You know, a lot of people have been texting, emailing, sharing on how they have heard from the initial program as we started until today, and how they've seen the changes and the little things. So the volume of impact to your life will be totally different. To you, New Methodist, half of these things, like what we said, we have trained you, and I believe the Holy Spirit has, you know, really taken the church a few steps forward. Before this thing happened, or before COVID came to be, the Lord has prepared us. At that time, maybe it doesn't make any sense, and you'll be saying, okay, you know, why are they sharing those things? So we are tired of hearing Auntie Rai hammering down all those things down our ears and throat. But those are the little things that you can remember and recall now for you to actually practice it out.
Yeah.
But for those of you Christians who haven't had the opportunity to listen or to know. It may be announced in your churches or denomination that you attend, but the concentration wasn't there. The attention wasn't really there. But now, you know, there's no other better time than this.
God positioned us this time to listen and to take heed of what God been saying in a good times. But because the time is good and everything was normal, we tend to listen to the world and feel the world rather than God. But now, when things that we rely on is taken away, then we know that there is a God.
Yeah. Yes. This program, in actual fact, we want to guide every believer and those who do not believe, atheists or people who just don't believe that there is a God. We are not just talking to Christians. We're talking to anyone who is willing to listen. Because the impact of COVID-19 to our nation, it doesn't choose the Christians. It doesn't choose those who know God and those who do not know God. It's sort of like the same to every human being. And that goes globally. So the impact is the same. Maybe you realize it now or realize it later. But we want you to capture it somewhere. You know, because He is our Creator. He spoke and we came to be. He will make sure that there is somewhere out there in a memory bank that He will allow you to, maybe you're listening, but not really listening, you're hearing, and it will replay when you really hit, the pitch of your life, when you really are desperate and you're looking out for something that can help you, and you will recall these moments that you're watching or hearing of, maybe from your kitchen, or maybe you're driving, or wherever you are. What we want to share with you, that life, it's out there. It's within your reach.
Yeah.
So God has given us the strength to get wealth.
This is the kingdom mindset, kingdom economics.
We're actually talking to you about the kingdom economics. Yeah. And the kingdom economics is sort of like take you through up until you reach a stage of your life when you...
You dip into the spiritual.
Because you love God and the spirit of the living God is in you. So it's no longer you that is alive, but God or Christ that is alive in you.
Yeah.
Which means when you're hungry, and that's you. But when the spirit of God is in you and it's no longer you that is alive, hungry, but the spirit of God that is alive in you, you look around and see people that need it more than you. Or maybe you have some funding or some finances with you that may not be... You know, as much of a need, and then you look around through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to discern the needs of people around you.
Yeah.
So today, I was sharing with Gasilevo as we were driving to Turek this morning on how the Lord has really burdened me yesterday and today to really emphasize, you know, for us Christians and for anyone who is willing and anyone who is listening in today, you know, to help.
Need
to desire to help. You need to be willing to share.
And
you
to
need
give.
To commit to give. And you need to, you know, have faith to live. Praise the Lord. Which means that when you look around, not anybody doesn't need help. Everybody needs help.
Everybody needs help.
And you may be saying, you know, how can I help others? Even myself, I need help. And all of us, most of us, we don't give, we don't share until you're all good. If your family has been fed, or you have money that has paid everything, like everything is okay here, then you'll consider to look out to help. And this is normal. I mean, it's natural for any human being to do that. But that's why we continue to say it's a kingdom economics, which means you have to be out of the norm. You have to be out of this world, you know? You have to... I don't really know how to explain it, but you need to... You're living here in this world. It's not that you want to be God or you want to be in the spiritual realm, but you are living on this world.
But you're operating.
You're operating
in the spiritual realm.
In the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
By using, you know, the kingdom principle.
That's why Jesus said to the devil, man does not live on bread alone.
Yeah.
Because if you live on bread alone, you are still carnal.
Yeah.
You are operating on
the
physical.
And you need to live.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when you are in God or in the spiritual realm, you need the word of God to make you move on from level to level, from level. So you are operating like you are thinking globally, but operating locally.
Yes.
Yeah. You are in the spiritual realm, but you are, people see you. You are a normal person.
Yeah.
And that's why you are not taken by no job, no money.
No money,
You are not worried of anything.
You have so much peace within you.
Amen.
You know, you come to the kitchen and there's no food.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you just say praise the Lord. And then you open the, like what we were sharing, for us, this is normal. Your abnormal is our normal.
It's our normal.
It's our normal. Because when we started this ministry, or when the ministry started, way back in 2002, the money that we earn, like a normal salary for a household to live on, was sort of like the only finances to
feed everybody,
to facilitate, feed everybody. We were looking after about 70 to 80 a mission. There were mission boys and another handful of mission girls, and we have 20 children living in our home from broken homes. We were sending them to school, financing them at home, apart from our normal family. So with that income, we were trying to make do. Now I begin to look back and I said to myself, how did that happen and how did we cope?
Yeah.
But we didn't feel anything at that time. There was so much peace.
Peace and joy.
And that's what I want to, we are confident to share with you today.
We are confident.
Yeah, we are confident because we've been through. We were coming in this morning and I was recounting all those things that the Lord had allowed us to, you know, to experience and go through. And it was normal. Now it's normal. It's normal of our life.
I remember when you used to cook. The same pot that we use, the six family, the same pot that feed mission coming in. Nearly every weekend, new mission are coming in. But the same pot that the six ate from is the same pot that feeding 20 and 40 and 60, because that is how the kingdom operates.
Yes. And when we started the conference for the church, we had it at, I don't know whether you remember, at Namaka Public School. And for those of you tuning in, Pastor Tauri, I know you're listening in from America. And I had my children, and I had Pastor Tauri, who is Rendine Taltalangas. Now they also look after Zone. And at the moment, she is out there in San Francisco. And I trained them, and I used to tell Gasilevo, I don't want the church to look after the food, because the same finances, I'm talking about the same finances. I'm sharing this because realistically, you can survive. You will not die. You can survive.
With a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't want you to, you know, think beyond tomorrow. Don't worry yourself.
Don't worry about tomorrow.
What's going to happen? What are we going to eat? What about my house? What about this? You know, take the portion, the manageable chunks that you can handle. Don't overload yourself. Hallelujah. Take one day at a time. Leave the rest to God and take the day as it is. You look at your family and say, okay, I need to cook for my children today. I need to find a meal today. You take one day at a time. So, back to what I was sharing. When the ministry started, and then we had people coming in from Navoa, we had people coming in from Suva, and to a total of about more than 100 or to 200, to the most, when the church started, when we were having conferences. And I said, Tengasilevu, leave the cooking to me. Because I know, and that's how we cook at home. And my children that are tuning in today, Lottery Worship Center, in Lovala Beach Estate in Lovala, they know exactly what I'm sharing today. Because even until today, we're still exercising. Maybe the volume is a little bit different, but when the church started in this conference, I cook. I don't allow any other lady to cook. I don't allow any other person to touch the pot. You know why? Because I pray for everything that I put in there. So the total of about 100 plus to 200, and we were camping in Namaka Public in Namaka for a week. We had a week conference. I was doing the cooking. So my children and Tauri, we will be sleeping next to the firewood. And if somebody will come and ask and actually look at what we are doing, they won't believe, because I was operating on 1.5 kg sausage. That's about 30. If I tell you the number of the kg per sausage, I can tell you the number of sausage in every. And I can tell you the number of pieces of curry pieces when you cut the 23, number 23 chicken, number 17, number 18. Because I work with that. I work with the little that we have. So with that 1.5 kg sausage and potatoes, I pray over the potato. I don't know how it happens, but all I know and I believe, and I always tell them, when you peel the potato, you peel for the potato to multiply. When you touch those sausages and put it in there, you pray for multiplication. We use the small pot, but it feeds everybody. Only the ones in the kitchen with me will know what actually transpired.
That's why
the volume of things.
That's why you don't allow anybody else to come
there
and cook.
Yeah. Because when you're looking at it in a tunnel, you lose hope.
It will be a doorway for disbelief and doubt.
Yes. Yeah. You need to have faith.
That's why the Bible says, the righteous
shall live by faith. Yes.
Yeah. That's why it's very important of the people that you keep around
you.
Yeah.
Don't moan and groan and don't allow any negative talk at this time. You know, don't go in group somewhere and talk about, we talk about the company. I don't know why they release us. I don't know why they do these things to us. I don't know. Stop complaining and moaning. Yeah. Choose the right people to be with you. You need people around you that speaks positivity and also learn to edify each other. When you look, try and look at the good things you can
and
find.
Speak of the good things.
Yes.
Because everything that you uttered will come back to you.
Yes.
You want to change your tomorrow? Change your word today.
Yes.
You want to change your tomorrow, your future? Change your word today. Because the word that you plant today, that you sow today, is the very word that you will sow tomorrow.
Yes.
New Methodist that we received today was the word that we uttered, we share at Lot 62 back in Malawi, in those days.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that's why you can do it, my friend. It can be done.
Yes, it can
be
done.
Our God is a can-do God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If he walks on the water and feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish,
Hallelujah.
It's just too simple. And sometimes it's just too simple and it's too difficult. I don't know how you put it, but it's just too simple.
It sounds simple, but it's hard to believe.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And if you can change water into wine by the simple obedience, just a simple obedience. And the Bible says, their feet did not swollen, and their clothes did not turn to rag in the 40 years that they walk in the desert.
Hallelujah.
That is the Jehovah Jireh that we're talking about. So regardless of the pandemic, regardless of the problem that you're facing, hey, my friend, you can touch the fridge and the fridge can...
Oh, hallelujah. Yes.
You just touch the fridge, the cabinet. Your God, the Bible says, don't you know that I know everything that is good for you? The food on the table, the clothes on your back, the water that you drink. Our God is concerned about the little things of our life.
Yes. You need to desire, you know, you need to desire the goodness of God to happen in your life. Like what we're sharing. There's a lot of you that are actually going through struggles. And sometimes when you're hearing us, you're not really listening. You hear, but you're not listening, which means like you're not taking stock of what we are sharing. Because you've reached a stage of your life like you've given up. You've given up on yourself. Look, don't ever give up on yourself, because you've always been relying on something that has been, you know, consistently coming to you as your source in the workplace, maybe, or some of the families, maybe your parents, or maybe people who live in overseas, your close family relatives that send finances to you or help you with raising your children, raising your home. When those things stop, it's sort of like you are in, you know, on that crossroad, like you don't know what to do because you've never thought of these things.
Hallelujah.
You've never planned. You've never looked after your family on your own. You're always relying on somebody else. Maybe this is a great opportunity for you to stand up, take ownership, look at what you have. Like I had a few other points to share with you today. You need to have the desire to help. Yeah, I know. You will be telling me, oh, until even myself, I need help. I don't have that much money. I need food on my on the table. I need food on my in my fridge. You'll be having all those things raising your mind. Look, I take one step at a time. When you have those things, or even if you don't have it, but still desire in your heart
to give.
That you want to help. You want to help. Look around and say to yourself, you know, I desire to help. I desire to help. I remember one time we were home, I think it was last 2 weeks, and we ran out of something. Then I looked at my time and I said, okay, we can still manage to pick it up from our Costillas. And I went with my husband. At about 7:30, it was really raining and quite windy. So we quickly got off. We went inside. And when I got off the car, I noticed this Indo-Fijian small boy standing there with doormats. And there's another little Fijian boy, it's okay, sitting there
pudding.
With his carton of pudding. You know, look through the boxes, he only had three to sell. And it was really quite windy and rainy. And we went in. On our way out, I couldn't afford to go past them. So I came, and I looked at that small Indo-Fijian, and I said, you know, I remember his face, and said, where you used to sell these doormats. I remember way back in 2006, 2007, I used to come to McDonald's or come to Nen's. I used to see you selling the same thing. And he smiled and he said, yes, that's me. And I do this to help my mother. So he started sharing. He said, at 4:30, I was waiting for my mother today to sew these doormats. And I was waiting and waiting. At 4:30, she managed to sew three. And I quickly rushed there. So from 4:30, I've been standing here. And I've been standing here until now. Now it's 7:30, and the shop will close at 8. And now it's raining. So when I stood there, and I was listening to their story, and this small boy just sat there, you know, kept on looking up. No word, no nothing. I stood there. I was so convicted. Like, you need to have that desire to help. Even though we were there going to get something for us.
Hallelujah.
But I had the desire to help. I look at my mother. I call out to my husband. I said, you have any change there with you? I don't really need a doormat. And I don't buy doormats either.
You don't need the pudding.
And I don't eat pudding. And I look at them, and then this boy kept on recounting, and he kept on telling his story. I felt so led, and I opened my wallet. I only have $100 bill. So I turned to them, and I was asking my husband, you have any change? And he said, no. And I look at this boy. He came around, and he said, don't worry. I can quickly go in. They will help me, and they will give me the change. So I gave him the $50 note and said, how much is your doormat? He said, oh, it's $20 each. Okay, I'll take two. You go, and I'll wait for you. So he came back. He brought back $60. So he gave us $60. I said, okay. You take this $10, you buy something for your mom. And then I look and I saw this, it's okay, small boy standing there. And I saw his three pudding. I looked through all my wallet, I took out all the $5 note, every small note that I can find. I gave it to him and I said, look, either you sell the pudding again or you go home because it's nearly 8 o'clock and it's quite windy. I'll go home now and take the pudding for you people to have it at home. No. We had our need. Yes, you will have your need.
You need
to desire to help. You need to desire to help. And we live in Lot 3, Sikolo Road in Lodala Beach Estate. And since the COVID started, every time we drive out of a compound and come down the road, and I turn around to my husband, I said, man, I really don't like the rubbish on the side. Like, you have heaps and heaps of garden rubbish and old fridge and just a lot of rubbish on the roadside. I'm
Sikola.
Talking about the whole of Sikola Road.
And
then you have Guava, you have New, you have Tangimaldia. Yeah. There's a lot of street off. And you have Naive Tavaya. Right. So there's quite a bit in. And every time I go up and down, I continue to see the same thing. So after a week, because the ministry, we have trucks. And those trucks we used to set up at the carry stand or set up for our service. But now there is no church service. There's no religious meeting. And not only that, they don't allow that kind of, you know, big numbers to be meeting. So the trucks are actually sitting there. They were doing other errands, but not as much. So I came and I called my son because he looked after that area. He's the executive manager ops. I said, you know, what do you think? Can you get drivers, get those trucks, and we help Natsinu Town Council? And he said, how do we do that? I said, okay, we came and we asked, I think it was Talaga Stofa, and Talaga Stofa said, we asked him, can you go and see their management, ask them whether we can help to take this
clearage.
And where do we take them? And then they said, oh, you need to take them all the way to Namboro. You're talking about Namboro, like
Namboro.
So for the trucks to go in a week, it costs fuel of $300. And not only that. So we asked them for a letter, the permit for us to be able to do that. So we got all our mission boys. And they were just so happy to do it. And every time when my son comes home in Rikon, because he drives one of the trucks, when he comes and share the stories, it's always humbling moments for us. And he'll be saying, the boy is singing and putting the rubbish. The neighbor will come. And surprisingly, we'll have a Muslim neighbor, along a Hindu, all along the streets that they were doing. We actually started off just doing secular road. But we felt bad because there were other turn-in streets and it's just piled up with rubbish. So we went and offered again. Took us about 3 weeks.
Up until this last weekend.
For us to finish the whole of Lodala Beach Estate, to take the rubbish from there to go to Namboro. And he said, as they were going, the boys will be singing, and they will be singing, putting all the rubbish. We have a Hindu coming in, give some money, or buy the juice. He said, they came to this street, a Muslim guy came in with jugs of juice for everybody. Even a Fijian lady walked all the way from her home, came to Lodala, where we seen lottery, and gave her $20, and she was just so grateful. You know, like the desire to help. We didn't really need to do it. But at this point in time, look around you. Because, look, when you actually look around you, then you will feel bad, moaning and groaning, all for the little thing that you're going through. You know, when there is no food on the table, you're only feeding about, what, four or three? There are other families, boy, they don't know. They don't even know what to put on the table. And on the same evening, you know, classically, when we came home, we were having a devotion that night. And just as we sat for the devotion, I walked into the kitchen, and I saw these 9 pre-packs of chicken curry left over from the mission food still sitting there. And I said, okay, we have to think of a family. So when I about to turn into come and sit for devotion, there was another carton of about 6 or 8 loaves of bread. So I opened the cupboard, took out 2 tins of baked beans, opened the fridge, take out 1 flour butter, put it in there. Because I saw one of my daughter's staff in the EM Pro Events, because she looks after Pro Events division. One of her staff came in and she was on her way out. So I turned to her and I said, where has Akko gone to? And then she said, oh, she's going home. How is she going? Oh, she's going in the taxi. Please, can you just call her? And by that time, it was 8:05. Our devotion time is 8 o'clock. So she went into my office and called her and she said, oh, mom, she's not picking, but I believe by now she's already on her way and she would have gone past Nadera. I was burdened so strongly. So even during the throughout the devotion, I kept on telling her, please just go and just call her. And when she finally called, she had, you know, halfway to tell her, but she lives out in Osori. And she said, she's already gone past. I said, just tell her to come back. I'll pay for her taxi to come back, pick this food, and take it home. So she came all the way back. And on the same night, after our devotion, and I was actually reading the Bible she said, before leaving headquarters, she was speaking to her older sister. And her older sister has got 6 children. And their dad is in Australia on one of the agreements on the Pacific attachment on work. And she shared with us, she said, I was on the phone with my sister, and she was sharing with me that they only had tea. They've been having tea until today, and she's got 6 children. I said, on my way, I told the taxi to go to my sister's place. When I came to my sister's place and shared with them the prepack and gave them the carton of bread, no words spoken, my sister just burst out crying and crying. And the sister sent another message to me to say, how can you know that my children were hungry? How can you know that the need is there? Look, I want to challenge you as Christian. If you are desiring to help others, look, God will make somebody to come and look after the very thing that you're worried about right now. So it's not about you and not about yourself. Being a Christian, it's always about God first. It's always Him about first. Because when you think about Him and His kingdom, you'll have that heart to look out and consider others greater than you or more than you. I'm not talking that, you know, a meaning for you to forget about your family. No, you have your family. They're the most close. Like for me, I have my grandchildren. I have about 4 boys there, and a friend of my grandson and 2 of my granddaughters, they always come in every Sunday for our church service at home. I also have my need. But most of the time when they come to the kitchen, my grandson, Joshua, will come and say, Nana, can I eat the thing on the table? Because in our household, by now, all those years of living, they've accepted the fact that when things are in the kitchen or things are on the table, it's not all for the family. There's always for other families, because we are always thinking of other people out there. So you need to desire to help. The Nasiri Town Council, are they there? They are tied down with their own, you know, resources. But since we have it, we offer, like what I'm sharing today. You need to desire. Your volume may be different. Look out to your neighbor. Look out. Don't just help people that go to the same church as you. New Methodists, don't just look after New Methodists. Look out. It's not about religion. It's not about your race. It's not about the people that you work with. It's all about every human being that matters and there's actually around you. So take that opportune time. This is the time for you to look out and look out to their needs, to desire, that desire in your heart that you really want to help. Share the little food you have. Maybe you cook things at home. They are left over. This is the time to, you know, to share it out. And I'll give this time to Gasilevi before I go down for you to be willing to share. We may be Christians, but we are not really, really willing to share.
The Bible says you are the light of the world.
Amen.
You are not the light of the church. You are the light of the world.
Amen.
What does that mean? It means the world will see you. The world can taste you.
Hallelujah.
And that's why it's very important that our church is not limited to the four walls of a building.
Amen.
Our walking with God, our Christianity, is not defined by the denomination that we belong to.
Yeah.
We must remember that when the Word of God lives in us, that is the most important thing in our life. Then we will walk the talk wherever we go.
Hallelujah.
When God spoke to Joshua for the new place, for the land of milk and honey, he's speaking to a commander in the army. He's speaking to a leader.
Amen.
And he's not telling him what armor, what weapon for him to use. He told Joshua, this is the weapon. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. This word, meditate on it day and night. To conquer that land, you need the word of God in
Amen.
You. So we want to encourage you today. As we face the hard times, this is the correct time. This is the right time.
Hallelujah.
To showcase the God that we serve.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because when things are not normal, those that operate under the kingdom, when we operate under the kingdom, we showcase the God that we serve.
Hallelujah.
And if we operate under the church, we are just like anybody else.
Yeah.
So I want to challenge our life today before she continue with some detail into the willing to give. Mm-hmm. To give to people around you. Hallelujah. Not because you want to receive and then you give. Yeah. No. That receiving, that's God's business.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I believe when it comes to us, the sharing, I'm talking about the, you know, Christians, for us who believe in God. Sharing becomes like a task to you. It's not automatic. Like whenever you pick something, you don't automatically share. You look at your needs first.
Yes.
So
it's normal.
It's always.
It's an instinct of a human being.
Yes.
When you see things that are coming, or food, or money, first of all, it's you. Yeah. But when Jesus come, he said two things. Love the Lord your God. And the people around you.
Yes.
Yeah. This is the greatest commandment. When he was asked. Okay? So that means when we have the desire to give, we are living according to the character of God.
Yes.
We are walking what we call, we are walking the talk.
Yeah.
We are not only talking the talk, we are walking the talk.
Yes.
Because when we give, for example, your life, when we go past people digging on the road and people that they are maybe asking for food and money, it's like an instinct in you to give. When we have food, like yesterday, I went to 100 nights Thanksgiving. I came back with a katombolombola of food. The instinct is to give away again.
Yeah, to share.
To share.
Yeah.
And that is the trigger point of walking.
Yes.
And that is one of the trigger points to operate in that spiritual realm that a lot of Christians, they haven't operated.
No.
We are operating on the physical.
Yes.
Everything is physical.
You need to push yourself to a level that you don't consider yourself anymore. That you're not part of the equation.
It's no longer identity.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a hard part.
Yeah.
The very hardest part is for you to reach that level. I believe I have reached that level, honestly. When things are at home, I'm always looking out. And sometimes I give up things and then I sit down and I say, okay, you know what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to have. Oh, and then I start to look around. It's always that instinct to share whatever you have. The little things, it can be little, and you'll be telling me, oh, I don't even have, you know, you may have something that is just.
Sarongo ti weekend na bosa ni kalu ni siya ni kuwa. Sangi ba kato weekend na nondeng dingi dingi. Kaya weekend na voltambo ko sarongo na nongo bosa. Kada kapa kinendo na ka sa tomatovuku sa tutubat kinendo sa tarano na bale enandel ni batu. Ike ba kinendo sarongo na nongo bosa. Kasi nida kapa kinendo na ka sa tomatalilia sa tutubat kinendo na tomat sa tarano na bale enandel ni nuku. Nina tau na uda, doko nando mbui, na liwa na dangi, na tampaka na bale kwa ya, enambale, sa kale una nambale. Sabi mbuli eni weekend, turangeni marama, dhorbo kinu wanilewa. Enamunu olimu kwa New Zealand, na mbosa nikalu enda sarungwada. Na numatiku nga, tubo karautu na New Methodist Christian Fellowship, na vingarabi nonda mbula, enasinga binaganikuwa. Nga ingiri nga eni, enanamba sa tuku niwati tuku waridake. Wak,